Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4 this morning. And we count it a privilege to be with you today. I've looked forward to this for a long time. I guess we got it set up back in the summer, didn't we, brother? And we were trying different times to come, and it didn't work out. And thank the Lord he got it worked out this time and was able to come and kind of got past some of the stuff we had going on at Solid Rock through the summer. We pack our summers full. We had a marriage retreat this year, or family retreat this year. Had a revival meeting in Gooding there at the fairgrounds this summer, and we had Vacation Bible School this summer. So we pack it in the summertime. And thank the Lord for what he's done through those different things. And it's really just been a blessing. I tell the church often, you know, it's just a blessing. God moved us there, and we went, and it's just been a blessing to work with those people there and just seeing God revive that work there at Solid Rock. And it's nothing more than God. You know, right. People testify and thank the Lord for me coming, and I know what they're saying, but, you know, I'm just thankful. It's been refreshing to me as a preacher, as just a Christian, to be in a place where God's doing something and saving people. And, you know, I sense, you know, the family atmosphere that's here is the way Solid Rock is. And, man, it's just awesome. And I tell people, you know, we got some there at the church, and if I called their name, your pastor would know who they were. And anyway, had one that kind of got upset at me a little, something that I preached, and got a little upset at me, and, you know, it was all good, got it worked out. And then somebody else came in visiting and said that I was too loud, my preaching was too loud. And Brother Bill went and bought earplugs and gave them to the lady, and she wore them. And then she started bringing her on, and just because she, you know, she said that it was too loud. And I was talking to this person that got a little upset at me about something I preached just literally a couple of weeks before, and they said, "We like our pastor just the way he is, and if they don't like it, they can just leave." And I said, "That's like a family. You know, we can rag on each other, but somebody from the outside better not come in and say nothing." Oh, no, I love it. I love it. I tell preachers that story, you know, and, man, it's just awesome. You know, it's like sometimes they'll use the bat up against your head, or they'll go to bat for you, you know. It's just a family. I love it. But I'm thankful for what the Lord's done. We've been dealing through the book of Nehemiah on Sunday night, and the Lord led me to preach through that and seeing the Lord reviving that wall around Jerusalem and what he did in the book of Nehemiah, Ezra, Nehemiah, and some of those other, they call the minor prophets of the Old Testament, seeing what God did. And I can't help but to relate Solid Rock Baptist Church to the book of Nehemiah and seeing what God's doing. And we're just thankful that the Lord's let us be there, and thank the Lord for y'all's pastor and the influence that's there. I say this, and I'm not saying it just because I'm here, but going out door knocking, witnessing to people, inviting people, just talking to people in the community. Still to this, because you left, what was it, 02, 01 or 02? Yeah, 02. 02. So, I mean, you're talking 19 years ago that Brother Bobby left. Still to this day, I hear nothing negative in our community about Brother Bobby. And that's powerful. And, you know, just has a good testimony there, and people, you know, reflect on his ministry there. And a lot of people were saved through that ministry at Solid Rock. And just thankful. And I just wanted to encourage you with that, brother. I mean, you know, 19 years later in Gooding, people still talk about Brother Bobby. And when we have our homecoming this November, people will come from there and hear him preach. And so just thank the Lord for that. And want to be a blessing to you this morning here out of Joshua chapter number 4. And I preached this I preached this to my church. I guess, probably about a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago, I don't know. And the Lord really stirred my heart over it, and I'd sent it to you, and then I'd sent it to the other pastors that's going to be preaching. This is going to be kind of our theme this year for our anniversary service. But you know anything about the book of Joshua? Here in Joshua chapter number 4, they build two memorials. And we'll see the point. We'll see the point in that, and we'll have some stuff to say about that. But let's get into reading Joshua chapter number 4 and verse number 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, 12 men out of the people out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God, in the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that it may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan, until everything was finished. Then the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that he might fear, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And I want to deal out of these verses scripture this morning simply on this thought, the message in a stone, the message in a stone. Lord, we thank you for this night, this morning that you've given us. Thank you for the privilege that we have, Lord, to be here today. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the blessing that it has been. Lord, thank you for the wonderful place to stay that I've been here. And thank you for the good fellowship that I've enjoyed. Lord, thank you for the people that I've got to meet today. And thank you for the work that you're allowing this church to do in this community. I pray that you would bless it in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we open up the Word of God today, or as we get into the preaching hour. I pray that you would, Lord, anoint us fresh and anew with the power of God. And Lord, give us ears to hear what you have to say to us. And Lord, hearts that would receive it. And Lord, may something be done to glorify and magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a, I love the book of Joshua. I've had the opportunity to preach through the book of Joshua in the past and enjoy what's in the book of Joshua. And if you go back to chapter number 3 and you follow up to where it's at, they've crossed over Jordan. It talks about how that it records what's all went on in chapter number 3 and what God did there at Jordan. And in chapter number 4 records the two memorials that Israel was commanded to build, and the necessity, the importance of these two memorials. As I was thinking about this and preached this a while back, we've seen in our day and time, all across this land, a lot of memorials that are being removed, statues and people of history and things of that sort. And the reason these memorials were built was a place that God's people could remember some places in their history that God, what God had done for them in His power and His majesty and what He did for the people of Israel. And there's a true statement that you've probably heard before, but you know, the fact is, a people that don't know where they come from don't know where they're going. And with a lot of things being erased and being torn down nationally, erasing our history. You know, one thing from history is the fact that we can learn from it. From the good things, we can carry on. From the bad things in history, we can learn from and try to rectify those things and do those types of things, as well as in our history. You know, I have a Bible world view, and even in our nation, as I read the history and the founding of our nation, it is only the providence of God that America is here, that America was even able to do. I mean, by all facts, I mean, the American colonies should not have won the Revolution. I mean, we were fighting one of the greatest military mights on the face of the planet at that time, the British Empire, and how the sun never set on the British Empire. But it's the providence of God, and for many different reasons that God did what He did in this country. There's not been a country that sent out more church planters and missionaries and Bibles and tracts and missions money around the world to get the gospel to the far regions of this world than right here from America. And we see a lot of these memorials that are being torn down, historical memorials, facts about our country, facts of our history. And as I see that, I see that as well has creeped into Christianity. And a lot of foundational things, fundamental truths, memorials have been torn apart. And you know, it's sad to say, and I'm not here to beat up on anybody, but there are places that are called churches that do not resemble anything to a local New Testament fundamental church that you would read about in the New Testament. And when you start erasing these things and the fundamentals, and you start whitewashing things and you start erasing lines, we're in serious trouble when we get into those points and times. And as I think about it this morning, God had Joshua to build up these memorials for a purpose. He had them build these two memorials to have to reflect on the goodness of God and the power of God, because there's going to come a time in Israel's history as they move forward, they're going to need some memorials behind to reflect on, to encourage them. Because you know as well as I do, in our life, we need to build some memorials in our life, because we're going to hit some dark times, we're going to hit some troubling times, we're going to hit some times that's going to test our faith, we're going to hit some times that it seems like God is not within a million miles of us where we're at, but we have those memorials set up to realize that if God did something before, that God can do it again in our lives. And I'm glad that's the God that we serve today. We serve a God that does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He can do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I'm thankful for that today. So as we look at this, we're going to draw some application just right quick, and we'll get done and go get something good to eat this afternoon. But number one, notice with me in our text in verse number two, the men of these stones. The men of these stones. It says, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man. This is coming from the commandment of the Lord. When all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man. Now, as I start looking at this morning, the messages that are in these stones, I'm not degrading or belittling the role of women in the home or in the church. I believe your pastor would agree there's been times in my ministry, there's been times in his ministry, and it's still even true at Solid Rock Baptist Church that if it was not for the efforts of the women, I would say 75% or more of the things in the church would not get done. And I appreciate the women in my church. I appreciate the women that head different things up, and oftentimes I use that to prayerfully convict the men to get on board, to get to busy, you know, doing something for the Lord. But here in these verses of Scripture, as we look at this, he called 12 men. When God got ready to do something, and he did it to where the people would not forget. Where did he put this responsibility? He placed it upon the men. The fact is, today, men, God holds us responsible for two very simple facts, and that is the physical and the spiritual well-being of our homes. Talking about setting up memorials, there could be memorials set up in a church, there could be memorials set up in your personal life, there's memorials that can be set up in your family's life. And today, as we look at this, who did Joshua command to grab these stones and to carry them out? He didn't command the children. He didn't command the women. But he commanded 12 men, one man out of every tribe, to grab a stone and to carry it out of the Jordan River and to set it down, and for a reason, to build a memorial. Those children would come later on and would ask the father, what are these stones about? That father would then in turn teach their children. And I still believe that it is the duty of every man to spiritually lead his home and to physically protect and to provide for that home. It is not Washington, D.C.'s job, and it is not Boise, Idaho's job to provide for my family, to educate my children. God gave that ability and God gave that responsibility to me and you as the fathers of our homes. And my friend, today I believe some of the problems that we are seeing is the downplaying of manhood and how men have failed to play the role that God has intended. I am a Bible believer, and I believe if we as a society would get back to doing things God's way, it would fix a lot of the problems that we have going on. You say, you really believe it's that simple? I do. Why? Because I was raised in a home with a father that led our family. And today, sitting in church, I'm preaching. My wife and my children are at Solid Rock Baptist Church. My two brothers and their families are in church in North Carolina today serving the Lord. Why? Because we had a father, not that was perfect, not that did everything right, but did raise us on the values of the Word of God. And they lived the same in church and out of church and was the same everywhere that they went. And it impacted my life to where I am today. And here we are today serving the Lord. Number two, as we see this morning, as we look at these men, they had to follow orders. He says, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. 12 priest's feet stood firm. 12 stones ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Notice these men of these stones that carried this, they had to be men that learned how to follow orders. My friends, today, before I can lead my home, before I can lead my wife, before I can lead my children, before, preacher, I can lead Solid Rock Baptist Church, I've got to learn how to take command from Him. I've got to learn how to follow orders from the Word of God.
It's sad to see so many times men that are in leadership roles that have not ever come under subjection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's never come under subjection of the Word of God. Before I can preach to someone else, before I can lead my children and teach my children and admonish them in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and love my wife as Christ loved the church, I'm going to have to fall in love with Christ. I'm going to fall in love with God's Word. I'm going to have to allow it to dictate the steps that I take and the things that I do in my own personal life. Right. There are men that had to follow orders. You know, the fact is today, and this is very simple, when I think of the responsibility that has been placed upon me as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, it makes me tremble to think of the responsibility that I have. And you know, the fact is, I don't know how to be the right father. I don't know how to be the right husband. I don't know how to be the right pastor, but this Bible that I'm preaching out of and you hold in your laps today does. And if I'll get in it and follow its orders, guess what? It'll teach me what is right. As I think about this today, they had to follow orders. Not only did they have to follow orders, but we see they had to have faith. They had to stand in the midst of Jordan. As these people are crossing over, we know these two heaping walls of water on either side. These were men that lived their life of faith and went back in there. I mean, it's just enough walking across. I could imagine walking across this Jordan and seeing this. And man, what a step of faith that took just to walk across there. But then to stand in the midst of Jordan, gather up 12 rocks in the midst of Jordan, and then throw one on my shoulder and finish walking the rest of the way trusting God. I don't know about you, but I'm not the most powerful in the area of faith. And reality starts setting in and thoughts, all it takes is this water coming down, man, and I'm gone. But these men were men of faith. These men were men of faith. They had to go back in the midst of this Jordan. You know, the fact is we must today have faith in God. We must, as we play our role that God has given us, to build these memorials in our lives, we have to be people of faith. You know what this world needs to see? They need to see a church. They need to see homes. They need to see families. They need to see individuals as people of faith. Not a blind faith. We're not living a blind faith today. But I'm talking about a faith that's based on the timeless facts of God's Word and living out our faith and letting it change our lives. Change who we are. Be people of faith. That's what this world needs to say, is a church that is faith, full of faith. These men followed orders. These men were men of faith. These men were firm. Verse number 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men when he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. These men were firm. My friend, today what we need is believers and Christians and churches and husbands and fathers and preachers that must be firm in God's Word. Must be firm in the presence of God. My friend, we must be in God's Word and be consistently in His presence in prayer and meditation and allowing Him to challenge and change our lives so we can be strong and stand firm when we deal with the task that is at hand. My friend, today the task that is placed before a preacher and a pastor, the task that is placed before you as fathers, you as mothers, you young people here today, the task that is placed before you and the lives that you live, my friend, today we need people that are strong, that will stand firm in the Word and the grace of God and be in the presence of God so we can deal with the task that is at hand, because the fact is we will all deal with places in our life that is far bigger than we are, that is far stronger than we are, that is firm in what it's dealing with, and we're going to have to be people that are of faith, people that can follow orders, and people that are firmly standing on the Word of God without compromise, without being ashamed. Fact is, today in myself, I'm a flop and a failure, but I believe it does something for this world. I believe it does something for our wives and our children, for our fellow church members, when they see each other standing in firmness. standing in firmness. Where do we get this firmness? We get it from the Word of God. We must prepare before the task ever arises. When you look at this, Joshua prepared these men. Joshua got these men ready for the task that's at hand. See, so many times I think people, why they end up, you know, failing sometimes, and where I've failed is I've waited till I met the task to try to prepare. And when the task is right before us, it's too late to prepare. What we do is we prepare now to be ready for the task that is at hand. Allow God to work in our lives. Allow God to establish some firmness in our life and some principles and some fundamentals in our life, that when the task does come before us, there's going to be temptations to quit. There's going to be temptations to turn around. There's going to be temptations to compromise on the doctrines of the Word of God. And my friend, that's not what we need. What we need is people that are firmly standing Amen. In the Word of God and allow God Amen. To work in us. They had to have some facts. These men of these stones, they had to have some facts. Verse 6, that it may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Some facts. This was not hearsay. This was not to these men, this was not hearsay, but this was things that they had experienced and seen in their own lives. It was real in their hearts, they had seen it with their eyes. And you know, the fact is today in our life, yes, sometimes we have different feelings. We don't operate our life on how we feel. We operate our life on facts. You know what, there's some days, and it was interesting sitting at the supper table last night hearing some of the conversation from the ladies, you know, dealing with our feelings. There's some days I feel saved, and there's some days I don't feel saved. But does it change the fact that I am saved? No. Why? Because my fact is based on the Word of God that I've been born again, that I've been saved. Why? Because I called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's different feelings that come and go, but facts never change. And facts are stubborn things. And so as men, as people of God, not just the men folk here today, but all of us here congregated today, Foundation Baptist Church, may it be said today that we are people that can follow orders from the Word of God. May it be said that we can be people of faith, trusting God. May God help us to be to be men and women that prepare ourselves for the different tasks that are at hand, and then hold on to the facts, the timeless truths, the changeless truths that are in this Bible. Number two, notice with me the might of the stones. In verse number 8 and 9, the Bible says, and the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest stood, which bare the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. The might of these stones. There's majesty in these stones. You see, it goes back to verse number 1 when God spoke to Joshua. It goes back to verse number 8 that they did it as the Lord spake to Joshua. Fact is, when we're obedient to God, He's right there with us. Always remember that. There's a majesty in these stones. There's the miracle in these stones. Verse number 9 through 18, you can study this on your own. There's a miracle that takes place here. See, as soon as God was done, the waters went back, overflowing their banks. You see, those stones were still in the midst of Jordan. When the writer of the book of Joshua wrote the precious words, those stones were still there. Nobody could take what God had done for these people. God had did something miraculous for these people. And nothing could change that. You see, that's the point of building these memorials in our life, is to reflect. To reflect on for ourselves, for our children, to reflect. Future generations haven't even been born yet, Brother Bobby. They're going to come by and they're going to see these stones. They're going to see these stones here and going to ask, hey, what mean these stones? Why are these stones here? And they can reflect not on how good they were, not what kind of superhero followers they were, not patting themselves on the back, but so they can teach about the God that had done these things for the people of Israel. Miracle in these stones. The motive of these stones. You see, the motive was that God's people would not forget what He had done. Yesterday, September the 11th, we've seen the saying so many times, never forget. We'll never forget. I don't know about you, but I haven't forgotten September the 11th, 2001. It's amazing. I'm 30 years old, and there's not a day in 30 years that I can remember so much specifics as I can September the 11th, 2001. And as much as we hear never forget, I believe in our country, many have forgotten things that's went on in recent days with this current administration. A lot of things have been forgotten. And as much as I hate to see that, as much as I hate to acknowledge that, I see it in the church as well. How many things have been forgotten? How many things have been forgotten of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? And it seems like for me, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to get to reality of where I live. I can see God do things today and give me victory, but how quick am I to forget when I come up against the next test? That's why we have to build memorials here. One thing a pastor that was on my ordination committee encouraged me to do is I keep a little journal every message that I preach, where I preached it, how many people were in attendance, if anybody got saved, you know, different big events and things that take place at the churches that I pastored. Why? Because as a pastor, there's going to come times where those big things ain't happening. Does that mean we quit? Does that mean we go home? Does that mean we quit preaching? No, we keep going. But we build those memorials so we can look back and God did this day. And God did this that day. And God did this. And if God could do that, then guess what? God can help me right here. And that's what I mean. Want to encourage you with today is the message of these stones. It's a message to a future generation. It was a message to the families of the world. You see, when you keep on flipping, you read about Jericho, Rahab. Yeah. They all knew what had happened. Yeah. They all knew what happened there, and their hearts melt within them. It's a message. So here today, let's build some memorials in our life for a future generation to reflect on, for ourselves to reflect on at the different tasks that we come up against. And as we do that, guess what? It is a message to this world. I tell Solid Rock all the time, you know, we're living in some strange times. We're seeing a lot of weird things. We're experiencing a lot of stuff. You live in the same world that I do. You read the same news I do. I say, preacher, what are we going to do? The only thing I know to do is to keep on doing what we've already been doing. Just keep preaching the Word of God. Amen. Keep witnessing. Yeah. Keep serving the Lord. Keep praying. Keep working. Keep doing what we need to do to live and to survive. And just keep doing it. And what happens, happens. Why? Because no matter, the reality may change from day to day, but the God that we serve never changes. Amen. The timeless truths of God's Word never changes. So that's what we hold to in the midst of all this craziness and chaos. And I promise you, the devil loves chaos. The devil loves what's going on in the world. The devil loves what's going on in America today. And he loves to see a church in chaos. Let's not give him that fulfillment of that chaos. And let's just stand firm in the Word of God. A message in a stone. Say, preacher, what is that message? The message in the stone is a memorial set up to reflect on because it tells us God was real then. God did this here. And it's the same God that I serve here and will help me here. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the privilege to be able to just open up the Word of God. Pray something's been said today to challenge us. Lord, it's challenged me. It's encouraged me again just to read these scriptures and to preach this again. Lord, I'm thankful that we still serve a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We serve a God that does not change. We have a Bible that does not change. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to set up some memorials in our life and, Lord, to reflect on. Because all of us are dealing with things or will deal with things in the days ahead that will test us, that will try us. Lord, we got those memorials set up that we can remember what you've done for us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for salvation. Pray that you bless the remainder of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.